James chapter 5 and verse 7. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it. Long patience. Until he receive the early and the latter rain. Somebody say seasons. Woo! He said it takes patience, long patience, to make it through seasons. You're going to have some seasons. Early rain and latter rain didn't happen in the same week. It takes patience to endure. He said, be ye also patient, establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Anybody here believe that tonight? He said, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets. In other words, if you need an example, look at the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and, somebody shout it, and patience. This next verse is crazy, because if you've ever had to wait, you're going to think James is a kook. He said, behold, we count them happy which endure. We count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, lest you fall into condemnation. I want to tonight begin teaching to you and preaching to you the power of this incredible section of chapter 5. He said, be patient. I'm going to shorten this up. He said, but I want you to be patient. I want you to learn to be patient, because the coming of the Lord is near. And what he's basically saying is, you're going to have to learn to endure. You're going to have to learn to endure if you're going to make it. But how many of you believe that if you'll endure, you will make it? Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach to you tonight from that word, patience. Patience. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Now, folks, patience is a very difficult subject to preach about. And I want to tell you why. Because sometimes your preacher, your pastor, your shepherd needs patience. Patience is absolutely one of the most difficult things, in my opinion, to bear the fruit of the Spirit with. And it's not that I get impatient with people. I just get impatient with waiting. When God gives the vision and God speaks things to your heart, and you know when God speaks it that it is so much bigger than where you are. Anybody ever been there? God's spoken things to you, and when he does, you're like, I am not going to say a word about that. Number one, people will think I'm an idiot if I do. They're going to think there's no way I've heard from God. They're going to think there's no way this is ever going to happen. But how many of you think that it was an easy job when Noah heard the Lord say, I'm going to have you build a big old box? What do you want me to build a box for? Well, it's not only going to be a box, it's going to have one door, it's going to have one window, and it's going to float. Float on what? It's going to float on water, because it's going to rain. What's rain? Now, I don't know if you guys have ever considered this or not, and this is not what I'm preaching, but The concept is real. You do know Noah did not have access to Menards. You fully comprehend that Lowe's was not an option. Brother Noah did not call up Noah Shaw at Lowe's and say, hey, I'm building a building. This is the length, this is the breadth, this is the height, and I need you to put me a build list together, and you come in and print that off and pay for it off one piece of paper, and then you go back there and search for guys for 10 hours that'll come help you load your truck. The Lord said, here's the vision. This is what I'm going to do. Now I need you and your boys to walk out into that forest and cut down the trees. And he starts cutting that first tree. His boys start sweating. How many of these we got to do, Dad? Boys, it's going to be a while. So we'll be done by tomorrow? No. What are you thinking on this job, Dad? Now, I've never done a job that's done, you know, as fast as you want it to be. When you're working, you got contractors going, they're like, we've had one little problem come up. You can just count on it. But I've never in my life seen a job that when they ask the foreman on the job, what's your time schedule on this? He says, I'm going to give it about 100 years or so. And what are we building this for again? Well, we're building it for rain. Dad, what's rain? I don't know. I've never seen it. Never felt it. What's it look like? I have no clue. What's it feel like? I don't know. So then how do you know it's right? Because the Lord said to do it. And with every rip of whatever the saw, the cable system, whatever it was that they put together, however they made it happen, I can't even imagine how grueling it was. We're not talking about steel chainsaws. We're not talking about the most amazing technology we're working. It's back and forth, and it's every day. This project looks bigger than it was yesterday, and we're digging, and we're sweating. And could somebody just get us lunch? Could somebody help us? I feel like this is never going to come to an end, but then there is that blessed assurance that comes. You're in the will of God. You're doing what God has called you to do. This may feel like it's taken 100 years, but if God spoke it, here's what I want to tell you tonight. When the rain starts falling, you're going to be glad you're in the ark. You're going to be glad that somebody had the patience to keep on sawing and keep on milling and keep on pitching and keep on building. I feel like telling you tonight, it don't matter how big the vision is, when God gets finished with us, we're going to be so glad that we have been in the will of God. If you believe it, shout yes. He said, be patient therefore, brethren. That word patience is, in the Greek, it's makrothumeo, and it means very simply to have a long spirit. In other words, like, go ahead and set your course for the long haul. This is not something that we get excited about at the beginning of the race and say, woo, thank God I made it. I'm finally here. I finally arrived. Brothers and sisters, you have not arrived until the day that you stand before the Lord and we see Him as He is face to face. There is no such thing as arriving. You don't have any scriptural precedent for any such matter such as kingdom seniority. I always chuckle when I hear men say, I'm a retired minister. Like, what's that? How do you do that? You know, from the time He fills you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost until you draw your last breath. You are a witness of the goodness of God. Everywhere you go, on a good day, you're a witness of His goodness. On a bad day, you're a witness of His goodness. When the sun is shining, you're a witness of His goodness. When the storm is brewing in your life, you are a witness of the goodness of God. But I didn't start this thing to get a medal that said you're a good starter. I promise you that there will be plenty of options to exit between now and the finish line. If you want a good excuse to quit running for the Lord, you can find one. I promise you, don't let this encourage you too much, you will get discouraged. You will be hurt. You will be let down. You will be disappointed. Somebody is going to frustrate you. You may even get frustrated with the Lord at times. But I'm looking at a group of people tonight that are not just a bunch of starters. I'm looking at a group of people tonight who have made up your mind, whatever it costs me to finish, I am going to have the patience. I want us to look at what James has to say about developing patience in your life. It is a constant work. I find that my level of patience in every single relationship in my life, from marriage, parenting, ecclesiastical privileges and platforms, every relationship in my life, the more I allow God to grow me, the more patient I become in understanding things. There is a word that's become a cuss word to us, but it really, in context, it's the most powerful word for building relationships, in my opinion, and that is the word compromise. We don't compromise doctrine. We don't compromise theology, we don't compromise anything else that has to do with salvation and salvific issues. But I'm going to make you a promise. If you don't learn to compromise, you won't have a relationship. You'll run off everybody out of your circle. You'll run off every kid that loves you. You'll run off your husband or your wife. You'll run off every job. You've got to learn that life is not about rigidity, it's about patience. It's about pacing yourself and realizing that you may have thought you married the person of your dreams. Well, come on now. But you just realized when they said, she said, baby, you're the man of my dreams, like, that was probably more of a nightmare. Relationships are so crazy today. And if I had time, I'd spend this little season right here talking to these young people. You know, the reason why we have such a divorce epidemic, even in Christianity today, is because of people's motives. They get married for the wrong reasons. They have flesh problems and think getting married is going to fix their flesh problem. Boy, it got quiet right there, folks. You got to have something that'll endure when mom and daddy get a little bit older. And things that, you know, I preached it a couple weeks ago, the thing that brings you here ain't the thing that keeps you here. That's true in the relationships in your life. These young guys get so shallow and think, man, if she don't have a perfect figure, I'm not going to marry her. Hey, what brought you there ain't going to keep you there, Big Daddy. She's got to have something in her soul that's greater than just the shallow perspective. Well, she's not what I thought she was, so I'm going to leave. Well, then you got to change what you thought you were getting and get patient with this and say, this is the one that I've chosen. This is the one that I've selected. I'm going to be patient with this, and I'm going to endure with this. Pastor, you make marriage sound like it's a nightmare. It's not. It's a fairy tale. What do you mean? I mean, everything they've told you to expect is a fairy tale. Oh, it's the merging of two beautiful rivers. When me and my wife got married, we said, no, it's like the slamming of two brick walls. But I want to tell you, I'm not here to just preach on marriage tonight. I got somewhere that I'm going, but I'm going to preach to you tonight. And I want to preach to the married folk. I want to preach to the ones who think you want to be married. And I want to preach to the ones who think you're never going to get married. And I'm going to tell you, there is a major, major difference in marriage and other decisions that you make in your life. When you make a commitment that you're going to serve the Lord, that's covenant language. When you're baptized in Jesus' name, it's covenant. When you get married, that is covenant. It is literally a covenant between you, that person, and God. So much so that the Lord says, when you take that vow and you two come together, the Bible said that He no longer looks at you as two people. And He felt so strongly about it, He said, what God hath joined together, don't let man put asunder. You know what that means? Can I just preach straight to you right now? Can I preach to you young people? You know what that means? When your marriage gets tough, you get tougher. When it's a difficult season, you bow up your shoulders and say, God is for us. God is with us. Start looking at some things in your life. Maybe the issue is God hasn't been front and center, and maybe that's why there's so much chaos. But every relationship in your life is going to take patience. Patience. I can't imagine being married to me. I'm sorry. I just can't. God gave me a good woman. I'm not a good woman. But every now and then, our lives get inundated with a little bit of stress. I mean, not that it's church work. That's never. I think everybody ought to pastor for 6 months. But what you realize is that we're not all firing on all 8 cylinders every single day. There's going to be days that I come short, days that she comes short. And we're going to have to work together in this thing because it takes patience. Why are you talking about this, Pastor? Because I want you to get this in your hearts tonight. James is talking about being patient because there is a meal coming. He said the Lord is coming. And somebody needs to learn to endure. If you're going to sit at the table of the marriage supper of the Lamb, you're going to have to learn what patience is all about. This relationship with God, it's amazing to me how often the beautiful pictures are likened unto marriage. You start looking at faith stories all throughout the New Testament. It's incredible, even the Old Testament, but as you start looking through, it's like 5 wise, 5 foolish. What were they waiting on? Bridegroom. First miracle Jesus ever did. Where did it happen? Marriage supper. This is about the patience of relationship. That's why he told the men that were married, he said, love your wives. Somebody help me now. Come on, I need a man right here. Love your wives as. Boy, you are some sorry man. I'm going to tell you right now. You know, it's hard to say that because if you say it, some of us got some apologizing to do. as Christ loved the church. Willing to lay his own life down for the church. But that's mine. That belongs to me. This is my space. This is my time. This is me. Woo! So let me tell you about this miracle that happened one time and see if I can get you going. Ladies and gentlemen, you need patience in every area of your life. Every area. I don't care what it is. It's going to take patience. In this passage, James uses the word patience or perseverance 6 times. 6 times. He uses 3 different illustrations to teach us when to be patient, why to be patient, and how to be patient. So if you got a few minutes tonight, let's pull up to the table and let's talk about it. When should I be patient? James isn't saying we have to be patient all the time, because if we do, I'm in trouble. But there are 3 special times that we need an extra dose of patience. If you believe that, say amen. The first time this is going to be tested is when circumstances are beyond your control. Your patience is going to be tested when circumstances are uncontrollable. When it don't matter what you do, you can't fix it. You've tried. Lost a lot of good sleep over it, but you still can't fix it. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but I'm going to tell you, if you're anything like your pastor, you've laid in bed at night or laid on your face on the floor and said, God, how long is this going to go? I mean, how long can this go? I'm not patient yet. I'm still learning how to be patient. Because patience is understanding it's beyond my control. I can't fix it. But I do know this. What James is talking about in verse 7, he said the Lord's coming is near. He said be patient until the Lord's coming. And I know that he's talking about the rapture. I know that's what he's talking about. But if I could play on those words right there tonight, I will also tell you that being patient is patience until the Lord comes. His coming to your situation is like his coming back for the church. You don't know when he's coming. You don't know when he's going to show up. I've used this analogy so many times from the scripture that with Moses, he told him, he said, stretch your rod out across the water that's in your hand, and he reaches the rod out and the Red Sea parts. But as they go into the promised land, into Jericho, we need a water parting moment again. And he doesn't say anything about stretch forth the rod that's in your hand. He tells the priest, he says, put the Ark of the Covenant on your shoulders and walk into the water until it parts. Excuse me? Well, when's it going to part? I don't know. So you just tell me to walk in? We remember when Moses did this, he just stuck that rod out there and it just happened. But I've got to go in deeper. I mean, when you're a priest and you got 1,000 pounds on your shoulders being carried by these men, and you step off down in that muddy river and your toes start sinking and that water starts getting up on your breeches up by your knees, you're thinking, when's he coming? Sure hope he shows up soon. That water gets up to your loins, you're thinking, oh dear God, what if I go under? Anybody ever been there? But God, what if I sink? What if I go under? How far do I have to go? Far enough. You have to have the patience to trust him that when it's uncontrollable, that just because you can't control it doesn't mean he's lost control. Just because I have no control does not mean that he's lost his power. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. He said, he likens this to the farmer. Now, I'm just going to tell you, if you don't have much faith, you can't be a farmer. It takes a lot of faith to be a farmer. I watched year after year, Brother Russell, when I was a kid, operate by faith. What do you mean, Pastor? You just take all the money you've got, go pour it into a bunch of seed, dump it in the ground, say, I hope it comes out. Because you're invested in it. And he starts likening this to a farmer. He said, this is going to have to take some long patience. You're going to have to wait for the early rain and the latter rain. It's a short verse, but it's a long season. You're stuck in between seasons, and you're saying, God, when's the next one going to show up? I mean, when am I going to come out of this? Anybody in here ever just felt like it's never ending? But then he shows up. You felt like he was never going to show up, but he shows up, and when he does, you realize it was right on time. You may have felt like you were going to lose it, but I know you didn't because you're still here tonight. You may have felt like you were going to throw in the towel, but you didn't because you're still here tonight. You may have felt like you were going to be defeated, but you weren't because you're still here tonight. Have you ever noticed that even when we realize that a situation is beyond our control, we still try to control it? Ooh. Man, I probably should have talked on faith or something. Worry. You know what Jesus said about worry? He said, who among you could worry and add one cubit to your stature? You know what he said about worry? Don't. I wish somebody just get brave enough right now to look at somebody close to you and just tell them, don't. Don't. Because I need patience when circumstances are uncontrollable. And I'm going to tell you the next place I need patience: when people are unchangeable. When people don't change. You know, if I could just be really transparent with you tonight, I think one of the greatest struggles that I've dealt with in my years of pastoring is not that people haven't changed, because I know people struggle, but I'm going to tell you where I really start lacking patience is when they don't want to change. They just get used to not good. And they're happy with that. 38 years laying at one pool. How long you been here? 38 years. Why you still been here? Because ain't nobody going to come help me. Nobody going to put me in the water. He said, will you be holy? Well, there ain't nobody to do it. Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? He had to ask the question, because he wanted to know, do you want to be changed? There is value in understanding that it may not be changing, or they may not be changing as fast as you want them to change. But if somebody's willing to change, God can work with that. It takes patience dealing with people. You may bring them to the house of the Lord, and it's 6 months in, and you've taught the word. You sat down at Bible study after Bible study, and they're just not getting it. They're just not hearing it. But when somebody says, I am so hungry for what you're saying, I promise you they're going to start changing. I've had people that we've sat for months at a time teaching Bible studies to, and it's like they don't want to change. But what an amazing feeling when the light bulb comes on. And they just come in one day and say, "What, man, what happened to you? I saw the light. Well, thank the Lord. I saw the light. I don't know if your mind went there. Mine did. As an example of this, he said, I want you to take a look at the prophets. The prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, we use that word a lot now. We use the word prophet probably more self-proclaimed than anything. I'm not saying that to be ugly, but, you know, I have a problem with people who are always proclaiming themselves to be apostle so-and-so and prophet so-and-so. And, oh, you can be seated. What was the duty of the prophets? The Lord would send them to people and say, proclaim change. I mean, in essence, that's... I'm not just talking... He didn't say them, go in there and preach a good little sermon, get three or four folks, say, you got a little pain right back here in your back. I like the way them guys used to do it. They'd take that microphone, reach back, right here in your back. Old Brother Pierce, he used to do that all the time. Turn around, right here, and this, boom! I'm like, well, if it didn't hurt before, it does now. That wasn't what he did. He took them Old Testament prophets, and he said, go to Nineveh and stand up in front of them and tell them, your sin has come up before me. And if you don't repent, I promise you, you don't want to put prophet on your Facebook handle when there's 600,000 people ready to kill you because they know you're the prophet that's coming. James said, you're going to look at these men who went in making suggestions that had heavenly value, working on people, trying to help them, trying to change patterns in their lives, trying to give them a better way, trying to show them it doesn't have to be this way forever. And they were despised by the people that God sent them to help and heal. And it was such serious business that when Nineveh actually repented, Jonah got ticked. You know why he got ticked? Because when they repented, everything he prophesied never came to pass. Was he a false prophet? No, he was a true prophet. Because the prophetic word that went forth brought change. Somebody shout change. But what do you do when you're speaking over somebody's life and you're speaking change over their life and you're speaking direction over their life and you're speaking security over their life? It don't always have to be this reckless. You can give this to God. God can heal this and they don't change. You know what you do? You get patient. Oh, pastor, that's not what I wanted to hear. We got to be patient. Long patience. Somebody shout, long patience. Third time we need patience is when problems are unexplainable. How many of you ever heard of the man named Job? Job's an amazing story because we talk about what God gave him back. But I wouldn't want to lose what he lost to get what he got. I'm just being honest with you. Well, God gave him back 10 times more. Well, you ought to be there in that conversation. Somebody comes in and says, every house, all your houses, all your buildings, they're all gone. All your kids, they're gone. All your cattle, they're gone. Everything you had, it's gone. It's preached material, okay? I've preached it. I'm going to tell you about patience. Patience makes you open up your mouth and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Patience makes you say things like, naked came I into this world, naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, taketh away. Somebody preach me a patience message right here. But blessed be the name of the Lord. It is a work of patience in your life when you do not understand why you're going through what you're going through. But the only thing that the enemy can get out of you when he tries to discourage you is you come to the house of the Lord, you lift your hands towards heaven, and you say, God is so good to me that I can't complain. Yes, I've had bad days. Yes, I've had hills to climb. Yes, I've had cloudy days. Yes, I've been weary in my mind. But God is so good. It's patience. It's a whole different level of patience. You can't fix the people. You can't fix the problem. You don't know why you're going through it. But God's still good. So we know that's when we need patience. Let me ask you, why should I be patient? Well, first and foremost, because God's still God no matter where I'm at. I don't care where you are tonight, and I don't care how out of control it looks. He's still God. He never changes. Three times in this passage, James says, the Lord's coming is near. Jesus is coming back. You know what that means? God has a plan. Well, when's he going to do it? He has a plan. No man knows the day or the hour. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. Well, that ain't true. I heard somebody in time the other day, Pastor. They said they know exactly. Well, they're liars. Well, eschatology may not be your forte, but they've studied their whole life. They say they know when he's coming. Jesus said in his flesh, he said, that's not even for me to know. If the mighty God incarnate didn't walk around in the flesh realm knowing, I promise you he ain't going to reveal it to me. But you know what he did say? Be looking. Be paying attention. He said there's going to be signs in the heavens. Signs there. Pastor, I don't want to be looking. Then you don't have patience. You can get lost in the destruction and the fear and the fear-mongering and all of the hatred and all of the venom, or you can start looking up, because he said when you see these things, look up. Why? Because your redemption draweth nigh. Fear will rob you of your patience. Pressure will rob you of your patience. But here's what I've come to tell you tonight. Be of good cheer, because God is still God, and he's got a plan. I wish somebody would say this with me tonight. If God was in control of my history, then he's in control of my future. If God could take care of my yesterday, God can take care of my tomorrow. If God can keep his hand on me as a kid, God can keep his hand on me as an adult. If God can keep his hand on me, God can keep his hand on my children. I will not fear. God's got this. I just don't know, Pastor. That's so weird to me. Okay, let me just set your mind at ease. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to oversimplify this, and I'm sure not trying to be insensitive to anybody in the room. I hope you know that right now, okay? But I'm going to preach this to you as simple as I know how to preach it to you. You either believe or you don't believe that all things work together for the good of those who are the called according to whose? Whose? So I've got to be patient that his purpose is being fulfilled in my life. Even when I haven't seen the light at the end of the tunnel yet, I know God's got a plan. And I want to tell you another reason why you need to be patient, because not only does he have a plan, not only is he in control, but God rewards patience. You believe it, say amen. Amen. He said, as you know, we consider those who have persevered. In other words, in the King James, he said, we consider them to be happy that have endured. I was just doing a little word search today, messing around in James. He uses this word patience 6 different times. But I want to tell you something that's really neat. When he says you have noticed Job's patience, that word patience is a different word in the Greek. The other times that he's mentioning be patient, he says have long patience. In other words, plan your work, work your plan. It could be a while. But the word with Job, the patience, that word meant you beheld what he endured. In other words, he had what I'm trying to teach you. He possessed what I'm trying to give you. I love this. I sent this in a text when church started to a friend of mine. If you want to make it, quit looking at people that fail and start looking at somebody that made it. He said you can look at Job and know that he endured. You look at Job and know that he made it. When you get tired and you get weary, don't go find a backslider. When you get tired and you get weary, don't go find somebody weak. Go find somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost, that's got a good report, that'll say, baby, I've been where you're at, and God was faithful, and he's never stopped being faithful. I love that. You just miss that if you're not looking. I wasn't trying to get deep and exegete the scripture. I just wanted to know, is that the same patience? And the patience that Job had, he already learned it and he made it. He survived the storm. You know what you need when you're in a storm? Please don't think I'm being ugly. But you don't need the pity of everybody to tell you, oh, bless your heart. You know what you need? You need somebody that can say, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're coming out of this. You're going to survive this. Oh, my, 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 my. Some of our most natural tendency in life, when we get frustrated, hope you got your seatbelts on, that we want to get even. We love vindication. I'm just going to tell you tonight, revenge is the opposite of patience. It's the antithesis of patience. A spirit of revenge, a spirit of I want to get back, is never going to help you endure. It's going to be a heavier weight that you're going to carry. Oh, God. Somebody's going to stand before the Lord someday and they're going to blame somebody else for them being lost. And the Lord's going to look back at him and say, you can't blame them. This is on you. Somebody's going to be lost because they got mad at a preacher. Somebody's going to get lost because they're mad at a dad. They're mad at a mother. They're mad at... Can I give you another reason? God rewards patience. He's going to take care of you. God's got this. But can I give you a third reason why you need to have patience? Because God's working things out. He's working it out right now. You may not see him working, but he's working it out. You may not know how he's working, but he's working it out. You may not know when, but he's working it out. If you believe it, shout yes. I want to encourage you in the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm quickly coming to a close. In every circumstance in your life, every, somebody shout every. In every circumstance in your life, I don't care how hopeless it feels tonight, in every circumstance in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your children, in your job, in your school, every situation, God's working. He's working. On that court case, he's working. In the doctor's office, God's working. On the people that have spoken against you and said ill things about you, God's working. When's the day going to come that they're going to pay the price? Don't worry about it. Be patient. He's got it. You think I'll get to be around when they have to pay the price? You know what? As long as you want to be around to see that, you still hadn't learned patience. It's amazing because patience and forgiveness, they run, oh Lord. They run right there together. And you hadn't figured out patience until you're willing to pray off of people what you used to try to pray on them. So what do I got to do? You got to wait. You got to be patient and waiting. I knew what I was preaching tonight, but I was in the prayer room tonight before church praying with you precious people. And I couldn't get away from it. I just kept praying it over and over again. I'd pray it and come back to it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what we need tonight? We need a baptism of waiting. God, I don't know how you're going to do it, and I don't know when you're going to do it. But they that wait upon the Lord, I feel my strength being renewed right now, day by day. I'm going from glory to glory. I may be in a trial, but I'm going from glory to glory. I may be in a storm, but I'm going from glory to glory. I may be in the struggle, but I'm going from miracle to miracle. They that wait on the Lord, it's refreshing. It's in the Word. You can count on it. He will renew your strength. Let's stand tonight. Oh, I have so much that I could talk to you about. In closing tonight, I want to take you Micah 7:7. Micah 7:7. Such a powerful scripture. The book of Micah, chapter 7, verse number 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. I want the church to read this last line with me tonight, would you? My God will hear me. Let's say that again. My God will hear me. Well, that feels pretty good. Let's try that one more time. My God will hear me. You know what he don't hear? What you don't say. My God will hear me. That works on every occasion. He hears you when you're not patient. And he hears you when you are patient. But the reason why we're going to be patient, James said, is because his coming is near. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you tonight, I've probably missed a few appointments in my life. I've had to cancel a few appointments in my life. I've been late to a couple meetings.